Chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. So grateful to have you all with us this morning. And again, if you're visiting with us, I hope you'll make yourself at home and come back and see us again. We really appreciate that. Again, I really want to encourage you to invite folks for Easter. There are times folks will come to an Easter service, maybe not come any of the rest of the time during the year, but get an opportunity to have them fellowship with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1, if you will. I'm going to read the first four verses. I want you to keep your Bibles open. If you're one who likes to ride along as we go through some passages, we're going to be through some passages here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1. Paul's writing here to the church in Corinth that says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." That's an important phrase right there. He says, "I preach unto you the gospel, you've received it, and that's where you stand." Wherein you stand in the gospel. If we don't have that gospel settled in our heart, we're getting ourselves in trouble. We're going to be tossed and blown around with every wind of doctrine that comes around. We've got to settle the gospel. It says, "Also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory," we'll talk about this, "if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." Just like the Bible said it was going to happen. That's what he's saying there. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Years ago, I was part of a mainline denominational church, and Jan and I had come to the conclusion that, this man had said, "This isn't true, that's not true, and that's a fairy tale, and this never happened," and go through the Bible and just basically rip it up. And I finally asked him a question. I said, "Sir," because I was just in my 20s, early 20s, and I said, "Sir," I said, let me ask you." I said, "Then, what do you find is the purpose of the pastor? What is he supposed to be doing?" He said, "To preach the gospel." I said, "Well, then what constitutes the gospel?" "Oh, well, that's just any generic topic I get out of the Bible." You see, that's not the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we do not have the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have no gospel, we have no good news. He's a dead man in a tomb. He's no better than Muhammad, he's no better than Buddha, he's no better than whoever Hare Krishna was, he's no better than any other man who's ever lived, he's just a man. But there's a death and a burial and a resurrection. We have a Savior, and we must remember that. Let's pray. And this morning, I'm going to talk on this topic. I was thinking about our song with the choir this morning, and being Palm Sunday, coming up on Easter here, let me ask you this question this morning. Have you been there? Have you been there? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for the power of it. We thank you for the eternality of it. We thank you that you planned it before the foundation of the earth. We thank you that you can see it through. We thank you that you brought Christ to this earth to live out, to do the gospel, to be willing to die, to give his life, to be risen again with the power and your might. Lord, we thank you for the blessed hope we have of your next return. We thank you for the power we have through you to live a life that pleases you. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us here this morning. I pray that you'll work in our lives. Lord, to be one here this morning doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I mean, truly know it. I'm not talking about having signed a piece of paper. I'm not talking about having walked a mile. I'm not even talking about having prayed a prayer necessarily. All those things are actions which may have been part of their decision to receive Christ. But Lord, I pray that each one here this morning, if they've never been there, that they'll be there. Lord, I think that if we be there, it will cause us to tremble, to realize, to shake us to the very core of who we are. With the truths of our sin, with the power of a Savior. So Lord, I ask you to work in our hearts here this morning. And we'll give you the praise for all that you do in Christ's name. Amen. I've never been on vacation. You know, when I was a kid, one of the things used to say, these kids had these T-shirts. My mom and dad went to Hawaii, and all I got was this T-shirt. And we're on the side of the T-shirt, and you know, they say, "Well, I've been there, I've done that, got a T-shirt, and the thimble and the spoon and everything else that goes along with the tourist traps." You know, sometimes you go to a place that's historic, and you start seeing some actual pieces of history, and you kind of, for a few moments, kind of put yourself in the place of that moment in history. And I know we can't go back 2,000 years to the Calvary's Hill and see Christ crucified, and I know we can't walk up to the open tomb, but the Word of God is very powerful. Sharpen any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit, and listen, it knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And I believe if we will allow ourselves here this morning, I think we can go back there for a few moments. I hope you've been there. I mentioned my prayer, not just to have said a prayer, not just to have sat in a pew, not just to have said, "Praise the Lord." But have you been there? Look at this passage real quick with me. He says, "Moreover, brethren," saved folks, says, "I declare unto you the gospel." I want to make known, I want to certify, I want to clarify the good news, the good message. It's a good message. How can a death of someone be a good message? Only if there's a resurrection. He says, "I want to declare unto you the good message which I preached unto you." He said, I've announced the good news before you before. And he says, "Which you've also received." You received it. You drew it near. You have associated with it. And you've taken it in. If you're saved, you've had to believe the gospel. You've had to trust the gospel. And you know the fact is more than believing in your head. It's more than believing a bunch of facts. Bible says you believe in God, you do well, but the devils also believe and tremble. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." It's more than just to believe that there's a God. You've got to believe that there's a Savior. God came and He gave His life. And He says, "You've received that." And He says, "And wherein you stand." That word "standard" means to continue, to be held up in, to abide in. He says, This gospel is what keeps a Christian going. This is our hope. This is our confident expectation. This is our hope of eternal life. It's a hope of a life with Christ. Listen, the gospel is how we face the trials of every day. This is how we face the future, especially when it's unknown. You've got a bad report from the doctor. This is how we face the things that come hurling at us day by day. This is how we stand through the struggles of life. You realize if everything else goes haywire, we're still saved. The worst thing that can happen to me is that I die and go to heaven. We stand in Him. Not only is He our Savior, but He's our friend. He sticks closer than a brother. We have Him. He's in. If you're saved, He's in your heart. He's right there. So he says, "Moreover, brethren, declare unto you that the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand," verse 2, "by which also ye are saved." delivered, but also protected, preserved. We were initially saved and we're kept saved perpetually. He is our Savior. If He didn't pay for all our sin, there was no sense in paying for any of it because we're all going to mess up before we go home. But watch this. By which also ye are saved, watch, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. Now this little portion right there can throw some folks off. Let me explain what this is saying to us here. He says, yes, you've been delivered, protected, you're preserved. He says, if. That's conditional. If you keep in memory, that word memory is this. To hold fast to seize, retain, to take, to stay. Let's say it this way. Do you really have a grasp on this? It is not gift. This is not difficult. But this is something that needs to be solid in your heart and in your mind. In other words, when we say you keep in memory, do you really know what you're doing? Are you repeating? Did you simply repeat a prayer, 1, 2, 3 after me? Did you simply say, listen, when I was 13, they of course, when I was a baby where I grew up, they sprinkled the head on your head a little bit and made the baby cry. It's about all it does, by the way. Just makes the baby cry. There's no place in the Bible where they ever sprinkled babies. Not every baptism always happened after they made a decision for Christ. The baby can't do that. If you want to dedicate your baby, that's fine, but what you're doing is you're dedicating you. You're asking God to help you to raise that child. But when I was 13, they lined us all up, and we were supposed to confirm that we believe. Well, you know what? You get them all lined up in the front there and said, now you believe so-and-so-and-so. Well, you think any of them are going to say? No. We just plowed them on through. Do you know? We said, well, they went through the class. I know they went through the class, and they might even know the facts. But are they resting their heart in the truth? He says, listen, if you keep in memory, if you've got a grasp on this, what I've preached unto you. In other words, if you can keep this foundational truth in your heart on the front burner, in the forefront of your thoughts, you will be able to stand. He says, we're saved by this. But you know why we're not standing? Because we don't keep this thought, the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the forefront of our mind. Why can't we stand? Because we're so busy doing this and that and other thing. We may be so busy doing things in the ministry that we've forgotten the gospel. Pastor Dallas was talking about obedience this morning in Sunday school class. You know, a lot of us grew up in Sunday school. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what he. Well, that's a nice little thing. Teach those kids that. You know why we don't want to teach the kids obedience? Because we want them to obey us. And all of a sudden we get old and we want to do what we please. It's like all these other things that's adult entertainment. Kids can't do it, but it's okay for us. No, it's not good for you either. Obedience is good for you too. We're supposed to be obeying the Lord God Almighty. Obey. Same thing goes with the gospel. Sometimes we get too big for our britches. And all of a sudden, we're too big for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we wonder, when all of earth shakes underneath of us, we don't know how to handle it. He said, if you can keep this foundational truth in your heart, on the front burner, in the forefront of your thoughts, you will be able to stand. Ephesians 6:12 says this, we read the other week, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Put on the whole gospel. The faith in that simple thought of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Now watch this. Look at verse 2. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, watch this, unless ye have believed in vain. This is interesting here. That word vain means idly, to idle, without reason, thus without cause. You say, well, I believe it, but just kind of, well, okay. Your mind's not an active motion saying, I'm going to believe this, I'm going to trust it. It's just saying, well, okay, that sounds good. It's just kind of running by. Your mind's an idol. Every once in a while when I watch the news, and sometimes I've seen parts and bits and pieces of it before earlier in the day, and sometimes I'll be watching something. Sometimes my mind kind of starts to wander on something else for a little bit. My wife says, what did they say? And then I'll say, I don't know. What was that? You know when a guy sits in front of a TV with a clicker? His mind's an idol. Sometimes we do the same thing with the truths of God's word. We just simply are, it's going by, but our mind's an idol. If it's idle, it's without real reason. Not really thinking through. So thus, it's without a cause. And if it's without a cause, then it's without effect. How many people have sat in a church all their life, every Sunday, and the Word of God was of none effect? I heard someone tell me one day, he said, well, you know, you go to the church and the preacher preaches. I don't know if you have to. He says, it's almost like you listen to him if you have nothing else to think about. Otherwise, you know, just it's your time to reflect. A fool wants to discover his own heart. No. We want to find out what's in God's heart. Don't sit idle by here. He says it's without reason, without effect. In other words, the idea of failure to have been enacted. It's empty assent to. It's faith without works, which is dead. It's belief without resting in that which you profess to trust. And it's vain. Unless ye have believed in vain. Are the facts real or are they not? Are you willing to stake your life on them or are you not? Will your faith in the facts deliver you from your fear and allow you to stand when you are confronted with life, or will it not? This is the gospel in which we stand. We stand positionally in the gospel. Do you know the truth? Have you trusted the truth? If you were to stand outside the gates of heaven and knock on the door and they ask you why they should let you in the door, can you confidently and with peace in your heart, say the blood of Jesus Christ, who paid for all my sin? Or you're going to try to go back and make a list of all the things that makes you look pleasing to the Lord, when even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? Do you believe it or not? Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now I know I've spent a lot of time talking about the heart, and that's true. You've got to believe in the heart. Would you put all your eggs in one basket? You know that he's paid for it all. But let me ask you this. Can you name the name of Jesus in public? Now, just listen, just shooting off. Just you can't decide. You don't know the size of the car by the sound of its horn. Okay, and just because we make a lot of noise doesn't mean we profess it. But if you can't make any noise about it, if you can't profess it, you better go back and check if it's down there. I'll tell you where it's really hard. Can you talk about Christ with your spouse? Or does it feel funny? Do you talk about Jesus Christ to your children? Or is it too uncomfortable? It kind of gets caught right here. When someone asks you about it and they're upset, can you in love tell them about the Savior? Or do we get defensive trying to prove it to ourselves as well as everybody else that we are saved? If we believe in our heart, he says, we'll confess it with our mouth. Let me ask you this question. Have you been to the cross? Have you ever been to the cross? In your mind's eye, have you ever seen your Savior hanging from the cross? Let me ask you this. In your mind's eye, in the heart of your soul, have you seen Him hanging there with your sin? Let me read a couple of things with you. If you're fast, you can hang on. Luke 5, real quick. We're going to be in the Gospels here, but just hang tight. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Watch this. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, upon Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the first fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Now the fishermen there would fish at night. When the waters were cool, the fish would come up to the top to feed. So we went at the right time. We went to the right place, and they're just not biting right now. This is Jesus. Jesus said, put your boat out there, put the net in the water. And he says, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, all right, at thy word. But you know what he's saying? He wasn't saying, at thy word, this is a wonderful thing. I don't think he was saying that. I think he was saying, all right, I'm going to do as you said, but remember, this is you. I didn't say this. This is what you're saying. At thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net brake. And they beckoned him to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me. I don't deserve to be around you, for I am a sinful man. Sin means to miss the mark, to come up short. So I don't deserve to be around you, Jesus. I missed the mark. I think I'm so smart. I think I've got life all figured out. I think there's some things that I know better than God does. But I don't. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let me ask you a question. Do you realize you come up short? It may be as simple as a thought of saying, I know a little bit more about this than God does. makes us a sinful man. I thought I could live life by myself, but I've missed the mark. Turn back to chapter 22. Peter came face to face with a sin that day there in the water. Luke 22, 54. 3 years later. 22, 54. And they took him, Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's office. And Peter followed afar off, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know not him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, after another, confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Look at this verse. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter went out and wept bitterly. Have you seen your sin? When's the last time you were scared to speak up? "I know Jesus. I know him. He's the one who paid for my sin." Have you seen your sin through the eyes of Jesus? Have you been to the cross? Romans 10 says, "As is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps was under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, they say it to them who are under the law, that every mouth shall be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Have you been to the cross? Have you seen the sin? Have you seen the Savior? Galatians 3 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, 'Curses everyone that hangeth on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." See, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine, and as the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Nothing held him to the cross but his love. They nail him to the cross and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Did you ever think of yourself as a Peter denying Christ? Just simply because you won't speak for Christ. Do you see your sin? Have you been to the cross? Number two, have you been to the tomb? Have you been to the tomb? Have you seen the death? The wages of sin is death. It's separation from God for eternity. Have we seen just how dead we are in our sin? In Matthew 27, you've wanted to turn to it quickly, you can. in Matthew 27, verse 33. It says, and when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, verse 34, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, I mean they nailed him to the cross, lifted him high above the ground, and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Watched him there. A spectacle. And set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Watch this. Now from the sixth hour, 12 noon, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, 3 p.m. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them who stood there when they heard that said, this man called for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. It goes on in John 19 to say, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And then Luke tells us, and when Jesus had cried that with a loud voice, he said, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. And having thus said thus, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Our sin separates us from God. When God placed on him our sin, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why? Because all we like sheep have been gone astray. We turn everyone to his own way. But God saw that he was bruised for our iniquities. He was satisfied. Justice had been satisfied because our sin had been placed on him. And when our sin was placed on him, he was separated from his Father for the first time ever in eternity. And he bore the sin of you, and you, and you, and you, and me, and everyone who's ever lived. Hitler, Stalin, Saddam Hussein. He bore their sin and their guilt on him, and he was separated from God. Have you been to the cross? They took him off the cross and they put him in the tomb. Have you been to the tomb? The lonely tomb. 27:57 says this, and when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Matthew 27:58. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher, and he departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. They went to the tomb. They saw the finality of death. That's supposed to be our death. And he took it for us. When we believe in Christ, we are buried with Christ. And all our sins are buried with him. Have you been to the cross? Have you seen the blood flow? Have you seen his agony as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Have you seen him take a lifeless body, bruised and beaten, scourged until he's unrecognizable? Coming limp from that cross, they place him into the tomb and roll that gigantic stone across the front. You've been to the tomb. But have you been to the empty grave? Have you been to the empty grave? This is kind of a collection from all the Gospels. Listen to me. In the end of the Sabbath, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, when it was yet dark, Mary Magdalene, who had been to the tomb that night, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went back to the tomb. As began to dawn, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. I guess they thought they were going to help make death smell. They don't need spices to make it smell sweet. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Like there's this great big stone between them and Jesus. Listen, the veil of the temple was torn. The entrance is clear. And when they looked, they saw that a stone was rolled away from the sepulchre, for it was very great. And they entered into the sepulchre and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, there was two men of them clothed in long white garments, and they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth. And the angel said unto them, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus of Nazareth. A man. Jesus of Nazareth. You seek a man, don't you? Which was crucified. Wait a minute. Why seek ye the living among the dead? See, he's not just a man, he's God. He's not here, for he's risen, as he said. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, the third day rise again? And they remembered his words. Come, see the place where they laid him, and go your way quickly and tell his disciples and Peter. He's still looking for him. And Peter, that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Lo, I have told you. And they departed and went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. And they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And did not run, and did run to bring his disciples word. And when they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and the Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they believed them not. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, saying to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. And Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came the first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as they yet not the scripture, knew not yet the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. The disciples went their way again unto their own home, Peter wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, while the body of Jesus, where the body of Jesus laid. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she supposing him to be a gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken things unto her. And after that he appeared in another form unto two of them that walked and went into the country. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. In other words, you can stand. You can stand. In which you stand, he says, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened, supposed that they had seen the Spirit. And he said to them, Why are you troubled? Why are we troubled? Why do we fluctuate in our faith? Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He says, Behold, my hands and my feet, that is, it is I, myself, handle me and see. For Spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, Have ye have any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before him. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, and said unto him, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name of among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, and the witnesses of all these things. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. They said unto them, Except I shall see him in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger to the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, Peace be unto you. And then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. We are complete in him. He died. Have you been to the cross? Have you really? I'm not talking about just idly thinking about it. You know what sometimes these young folks, we've grown up in the church, this is what we do, it's what we do, and that's great, that's wonderful. But listen, don't take these as idle tales. The apostles had heard Jesus say, I'm going down to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to be abused. The third day I'm going to rise again. And yet when the ladies come back and say, He did, He rose again, they were as idle tales. In your heart, have you been to the cross? I'm serious, folks. In your heart, have you been to the tomb? Death. No one wants to talk about death. Death! But in your heart, have you been to the empty grave? Do you realize he conquered death? The wages of sin is death. But the gift. The gift. You hear me? The gift. God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Raised to never
die again.
Father, we thank you for your word and for your truths. Thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for working in our lives. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll work in a great way. Do a great thing here, Lord. We ask it in your Savior's name, our Savior's name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes